Yeah, well, it's a shayla of Talmud Torah. Or Talmud Torah is a schus for a chayla, that's a separate issue. That's a little bit more removed, but also a question. And then, of course, there are the questions of going to a tzaddik, to ask the tzaddik to be mispalo. In fact, you have in your sheets a tshuva from Reb Moshe. And it's a short piece from the tshuva. Simon Mem Gimel, right? And he speaks there about the very famous question about asking Malachim to intercede on your behalf, to daven to Malachim, to angels. And Shalos attributes to Gush Moshe El Chaim Chelik Hei Simon Mem Gimel. He writes, Al Koponim B'Malachim U'Kuli Alma Osu Levakish Sheim Yasu Dovar Avureinu, that they should do something themselves for us. According to Reb Moshe, it's completely forbidden. To intercede on our behalf with the Ribbono Shel Olam is something that they can improve upon. That's not nogea to us right now. The whole inyan of malachim and the things that we say in the tefillah, malachi rachamim, and even the night of Shabbos when before you make kiddush, baruchuni l'shalom. So you know the Vilna Gaon did not say baruchuni l'shalom, because you're asking the malachim to bless you, and they only ask the Ribbono Shel Olam to bless you. But that's not nogea to us at all. What's nogea to us is the next words of the Reb Moshe. He says, "Avolavakish odom kshu bechayim lispalu levarech," to ask a person, and then he goes to what kind of people we're talking about. To ask a living person to daven for us is very appropriate. Who dover haroi v'hanochin loy rak leilich el hanaviim, not only to go to the neviim when there were neviim shemafurish bekroi, elagam lechachmei toira v'loy rak letanoim. And of course, he gives the famous ones, Reb Chanina ben Doisa, Shahir Yochanan ben Zakai Rabbi, Mevakshil Ispalabad, Benoy Shalchola. Famous story that his wife asked Reb Yochanan ben Zakai, why are you going to Reb Chanina ben Doisa? You're bigger than him in Torah. So he says, perhaps so. But Einadai Mesar Lifnei Melech, and Eved Lifnei Melech. An Eved has entree, even with a Sar, cannot go. So that's how he described Reb Chanina ben Doisa. So you see that he is Reb Chanina ben Doisa to daven. And of course we also know that Reb Chanina ben Doisa said that he would see a simon in the fact that he was easy for him to daven, that for Shkura Befiv, that it was miskabel. And then he was Reb Gamliel Shalachov Shnei Tamil Chachom Levakishoy Sheispal Vakshrachma Vubnoi Shachola Kedisa Bebrochas Aflamid Alar Amid Beis. And not even Tanoim Vafloi Raklam Oiroim Kreb Yoina Abud Reb Mani Kreb Yitzbal Yashiv Reb Yehuda Shekoma Shoyum Vakshim Hashem Yizbarach Hayo Isalahem El Af Kol Chochom Shebechol Dova Doyo Tzrichim Mi Sheyeshloi Choyle Leilachetzloi Shivakshol Vrachamim. He says Tzrichim. No, interesting Loshen, Reb Moshe says. That they ought to go to the chacham of each door, that he should be mevakish aleim rachamim. Kedisa bababasra, dor shapins machama kushesh lachol b'sach beisa yelachet al chacham vivakish olav rachamim shezen nishna ledoyret shekein yasu. He says this inyan is not for his time; it's for all time. That anyone who has a chayla b'sach beisa doesn't mean medatka b'sach beisa. It could be in the hospital, mekav chayme, or it could be somebody that he cares about. It doesn't have to be b'sach beisa. So he goes to a chacham and he's mevakish olav rachamim. Vegam ledayreinu v'chol amekoymas. Shehu v'zal ledina b'rama yeridei sim shin lamet hey sif yud dalay odiv zem inyan hayra de isa v'heter. That you go ein lecha el shayfet shebiyamecha. You go to the gadol of your time. Shegam chachamim d'darzehu b'chlau. Hakol ponim levakish adam lispal avur Hashem yizborach ze dover haroi v'anochin shekein tzrichim lazus. So you see that this area, Baruch Hashem, he took care of. You can go to a tzaddik, and the tzaddik asks for the chayla. But that is nothing to do, per se, with using divrei Torah themselves. A person is a mumcha in divrei Torah, but he's not using divrei Torah. He's stam davening. But the question is, can you use divrei Torah? So the kasha of Tehillim is harder than the question of going to a chacham. Because the chacham, when he davens, doesn't have to use psukim, and he doesn't have to use any words of Torah. He just davens. Yeah. So this is the basic topic and the basic issue. Now, what I wanted to do before we go into any of the Makairas that you have in front of you, is to give you a background, to give you just a general sense of the Inyan as a whole, and then we'll go to the Pratim, and the Pratim, Ad Heichon Shiyodeinu Magas, it'll take us 2 Shiurim. Okay, so the first thing is, in the Inyan of Refuah, in general, even in a Refuah, what we call Refuah Al Yedei Teva, meaning a medicine, there are Refuahs that are Bedukais, that the Nisayon has been Mochiach, that they work, like Tylenol for a headache, Lamoshal. And then there are Refuahs, even Tiviais, that it's a Suffolk if they work, or they don't always work. And of course you have these experimental drugs, for example, where they're not 100% sure whether it works or how it works, but nevertheless, b'mokim that you don't have any choice, you might want to try something like that. So the question is, b'medvarim amurim, if it's not macholis asuris, for example. But what about macholis asuris? Are you permitted to eat macholis asuris for a chayla she'esh b'sakana? Of course, yes. It's not from the Gimel Averus HaChamuras of Yoharik Val Yavar. In the Gimel Averus HaChamuras of Yoharik Val Yavar, you're not allowed to be misrapi with them either. But if those things that are not Avodah Zarah, Gilu Arayis HaShvichas Damim, you are permitted to be misrapi with them, even though they are usur, such as Macholis Asuras. If the person had to eat some part of a Chazir, and he knows that that will heal him, or that's the only food that's available to him, and if he doesn't eat it, he's going to die. So of course, he's permitted to eat it. He's not only permitted to eat it, he's actually mechuyev to eat it. Now, they once saw a person walk into a McDonald's, a chashiv yid mitabod, and sit down by the table and eat. And the person, nearly had a heart attack, who was looking through the window. So he came out and he said he's a diabetic, and if he wouldn't have eaten at that moment, his blood level, sugar level would go haywire, and it was sakonas nefashis. And then chasant namaisa, maisa shahoyah. Anyhow, there are certain situations where you'll have a refuah that is experimental, and there's a suffix whether it'll help. The question is, could you eat a piece of chazer in such a situation? So that's one issue. And then we take it one step further, maybe a quantum leap, perhaps. These are examples in refuah tivis, medicine. What about refuah segulis? It's a segula. In other words, they know that if you do certain things, they can't explain it, they don't know how it works, it doesn't have the natural scientific background that explains it, but afal pi kein, there is a minig to do a certain thing, a lachash, a wear a kameya, etc., 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 as a refuah for a certain machla. So then there also, there is the inyan of experimental, quote-unquote, versus proven, quote-unquote. Meaning if a certain lachash or a certain kameya is used over and over again, and it has been proven to have effect, it's treated differently as something that is not necessarily that it works all the time. And now, of course, let's begin from the beginning. Okay. The Mori Nevuchim, I don't know if that's the beginning. We could start from the Mishnah, we could start from the Pasuk, but I want the Lashon of the Mori Nevuchim translated, of course, into Lashon Kodesh. As you know, it was originally written in Arabic. He says, V'amru b'feirush, this is in Chelek Gimel Perik Lamed Zayin. Chelek Gimel Perik Lamed Zayin. In the middle of that perik, he writes the following. V'amru b'feirush, Chazal said, Kol sheyesh boi mishum refua, ein boi mishum darkei ha'emori. The Isur to go and act in the manner of the Emori, in their, not idol worship, of course, idol worship is Avodah Zarah Mamish, but Darkei Emori is the way in which they relate it to the unseen world, if you will. So they had all kinds of hocus pocus and mumbo jumbo, and these are things that we are not permitted to do. You're not allowed to go B'Darkei HaEmori. Reitzim Bazet, who says, what does that mean? Shekol Mashi Gzerehu Ha'iyun Hativi Hu Mutar V'Zulaso Asar. Anything that is established or confirmed by scientific experiment. That's really what he says. So Iyun Hativi, the natural analysis, the analysis of nature. So he says that is mutar, and everything else is forbidden. That's the way he starts. Yeah, v'chein kasha noima ilon shemeshir peirosov toya noiba avonim oisaykre desikra. He says there's a tree, and nebach, it's losing its fruit. So you do something, you lean stones against it, or you burden it with stones, or you draw a red line around it, and so on. So what is that? Hukshu alzah ha-maiseh bishlom ha-tainoi ba-avonim hi-hechi de-likchash chelet el-esaykri b'sikra ma-taima. So the Gemara itself says, we understand the svara of the dynamics of why he should load it with stones or whatever. Whatever their understanding was, what the problem was and how that solves the problem in a natural physical way. But Saikre Besikra, putting a red line around it, what could that possibly accomplish? Hinei Nisboyer, Sheskira Besikra V'chomasha Doima Lezemi Masha Lo Yigzereyu Ha'ekesh Ativi. Anything that is not logical according to scientific analysis, why it should work. In other words, A plus B equals C, like gravity pulls something from the top to the bottom. He says, anything other than that, which you cannot understand or prove, osula saisai, and nevertheless people do it, because they're superstitious, that's what he's saying. Osula saisai mishum darkei amayri. Yeah. And the chain amru b'shul yoshom mekdashim tikaver amru ein toilin osab ilon ben kaverin osab parashas drachim ipnei darkei amayri. They had all kinds of things that we don't even know what they're all about, but they had all kinds of strange things that they did, which for them was considered a segula for something to fix a problem of some kind. So he says you're not allowed to do all of these things. Val yikshel lecha mashe tiru mehem b'masmer atzalu v'shein ashuro ki advarim mehem b'zmana. He gives a whole list of refuahs which are segulais, and he says that they don't work. So he said, how is it that the Gemara allowed for such a thing? So he says, because at the time they thought that there was a scientific foundation to it, and therefore they permitted it. He says that there's certain things that you can't explain how they work, but the very fact that they do work indicates that there's some scientific basis for them and behind them. So he says, "V'hali biyotcha elu haniflois mimamori zeh ata hamayin v'shomrim." And he quotes interestingly our pasuk, "Ki liv yaschein heimel roishecha v'anokim legagir roishecha." So he says, in other words, a yesod. What is his yesod? That even if we can no longer explain the efficacy of some of the things that are mentioned, it doesn't change his opinion of what Chazal established. They established a rule. And in their time, however it is, certain things worked, and they worked, and they worked again and again, and there must have been some foundation to it. A lot of times we have these flowers and medications that Native American Indians or the Chinese have, these herbs, and nobody figures out what exactly they do or how they work. Maybe later when they find the chemical, you know, basis of it, and they have all kinds of laboratory experiments now and the tools to analyze things that they zero in, you know, sometimes they have to go as far as the DNA of the thing. But the bottom line is that when they weren't able to figure out what ingredient was deep down in that thing, nevertheless they saw that it worked. So even though they could not explain why it works or what part of it is making it work, but they knew that there was somehow, somewhere in there, an ingredient that works. Masha'en came things that are nonsense, that make no sense whatsoever, like, for example, drawing a red line. You can draw as many red lines as you want. It doesn't do a thing. And you know that it doesn't do anything. So that's Darkei HaEmor. So he says the difference is things that may have a scientific foundation and are proven to work, and things that don't seem to have any scientific foundation and logically appear to be nonsense. Okay, so he says those things which are logically nonsense and they ought not to work, then a yid who does them is over on darkei or emor. Okay, now, you want to give me perhaps a Gemara Masechta Shabbos? He says there's no such thing. In other words, the minute that it works, it means that we don't have what the scientific foundation of it is. But he says you can tell very often that the thing has to be nonsense. And then, Bidar Klali, if you look carefully, it's not going to work. You may even think it works, but if you examine carefully what's happening, you'll see that something else is making it happen, but not this. There's a Mishnah, Daf Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah, of course, is in the Perek Bamei Isha, the last daf of the Perek Bamei Isha. This is the sixth Perek. The next Perek, of course, is Klal Gadol. So it's the last daf before Klal Gadol. So Daf Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, the last Mishnah in the Perek. In the Perek deals by Bamei Isha Yotze, all the things that you are or are not permitted to go out with on Shabbos, to carry. And it ends towards the end, we're talking about all kinds of malbushim that are not your typical dress or jacket. So are you allowed to carry it? Are you not allowed to carry it? And then the Mishnayos speak about a person who is a cripple. Can he go out with his cane? Can he have a club foot? I mean, what do they call that? An artificial leg? And so on and so forth. So the Mishnah continues and it says like this. Yoitzim bebeitzas hachargol. Now chargol, to the best of my knowledge, is a cricket. As a beetle, a cricket, as an insect. But beitzas hachargol, ubishen shuo, ubemasmer min atzoluf. These are all things that have to do with darkei emori. The Rashi doesn't even bother explaining what they are, because we don't use them anymore. But yotzim, they go out, you are permitted to carry these things on you, however they wore them. Mishum refuah. Divrei Reb Meir. The Chachamim Oisrim Af B'Choil Mishum Darkei HaEmori. So there's a machloikis in the Mishnah on two levels. One, the question is whether you're allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. So the Paskins Reb Meir that you are. But the Chachamim say that the problem that exists there does not allow you even to go out with it B'Yemois HaChoil, because you're not allowed to use it altogether, because it's Darkei HaEmori. Rashi says, Nichushu Uksiv U'B'Chukoyseihem. So that's all the things that are also mishum darkei ha'emayim. So in this Mishnah, the Rambam says in the Pirush HaMishnayos, in the Pirush HaMishnayos on the spot, because in the Shaila here, you have, for example, What malacha do you have? What isur, I mean, do you have over here? The malacha of haitzah on Shabbos. Same thing is possible if you have something that's macholis asuris, but you're eating it, and it's not used b'toyres refuah mamish like a medicine, but it's also may aim these kind of ideas that are included in the darkei or emairi. So the Pirush HaMishnayos in the Rambam here and in Yuma Daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. So the Rambam says that something which is a derech segula. So if it is baduk al yedei science and you know that it really works in an eifen tivi, the dvarim hamarapim b'teva. Then you are allowed to take it on Yom Kippur. You are allowed to eat macholos asuros. You are permitted to wear it on Shabbos, etc. If that's going to help you, such as a wound that's bandaged and so on. But if you are dealing with something that the Das and the Nisoyon did not come to the conclusion that it works, it does not have a Hezber or a Svara, and you haven't seen that routinely it's effective, right? So he says that the chances of its working are low, and therefore we do not permit the heter of refuah of a chaybohem to apply, and therefore you would not be able to use it on Shabbos, you would not be able to eat it on Yom Kippur, you would not be able to eat makolas atzuras to make it happen. In the question, if that's the case, what about the opinion of Reb Meir? Reb Meir says that yoytzim, you are allowed to be yoytzim to Rishus HaRabim in a refuah segulis. So the answer is, since the person who's wearing it wears it l'shem refuah, hagam that from our perspective as doctors and scientists, we don't see anything in it at all. But why is that person wearing it? He's not wearing it stam and debelterayim. He believes that it has effectiveness, and he's heard about it. He heard about it from this natural, alternative medicine fellow, and this other one. So he tries it. Sometimes they try it because they're desperate. But in any case, why is he doing it? He's doing it mishum refuah. So he's wearing something mishum refuah. Since for him it is mishum refuah, it's considered a malbush, and therefore Rav Meir holds you're allowed to wear it. So in other words, the don't measure it whether it works or not in the abstract, from the general consensus. In the case of carrying, the question is it a malbush or is it not a malbush? And it's a din of a malbush, providing that the person who wears it considers it to be effective. So for him, it's a malbush. That's the opinion of the Chachamim. But that's the opinion of the Chachamim. Yeah, that's the opinion of Chachamim. The question is, what's the machloikas between the Chachamim and the others? Yeah, we're talking about all of these things. Right, that's the shaila. That's the shaila, that's halacha lemaisa, that we'll get to. All these things that people do, why isn't it totally in the machloikas between Reb Meir and the Chachamim, that the Chachamim say that all these items are mishum darke, amayri osur ach b'choil? That's correct. But as far as the malbush issue is concerned, you understand, if the Chachamim say you're not allowed to wear it, so you can't say I'm wearing it because of a malbush. So they always say, afil b'chol. But if you don't have that isur da'akei amayri, but the question is, maybe it doesn't work. So now, why should I be wearing it? So the answer is, I can wear it. It's not a violation of Shabbos. Shabbos is like this. If it would not be a malbush, and you would be going out because you're sick, then you would not be able to carry it. Why? Because that is only permitted to violate the Torah in the variety of averis that are not the three averis chamurs because of a chaybohem, is only when something is segula, that's beduka menusa. But something that's very iffy, you cannot do an avera on the possibility that this iffy thing will help you. That's the way they paskin. So therefore the shailis, so what about on Shabbos? So maybe Reb Meir disagrees with that whole principle. He says, no, he doesn't disagree with the principle in general. You won't be able to eat such a thing if it's macholos asuras. So why can you carry it? The answer is because for him it's a malbush. That's what he said. Okay. So the inyan that it's a malbush, this principle was established in the Shailos HaTshuvos of Radvaz. You know, the Radvaz lived at the same time as the Ari HaKadosh and so on, the Beis Yosef, and he says that that is the halacha, that is the pshat of that inyan. Yeah. There's also the possibility, based on this, that some Siach Yitzchak in Yuma, famous Sefer on Yuma, so he writes based on this Mer Nevuchim of the Rambam that I read to you, that at that time they believed that this was actually Derech Refuah, not Derech Segula, because they didn't think that there was some magical quality to it that's supernatural. They felt that there was something in there that actually healed the person while he was wearing it, like your example of the magnets and so on. Some people wear copper bracelets to take care of arthritis issues, and they also swear by it. So it's the same point, that when somebody does it and he has a scientific foundation for it, even if he's mistaken, that's not ever called darkei amayri, because the scientific foundation is what's prompting him to do it, not the supernatural incantation of it. So, of course, when you're wearing a kameya, for example, there's nothing medicinally in the parchment or in the ink that is having some sort of an impact upon you physically. That is all supernatural. That is all invoking the koichos in the world in some way or another. Now the question is whether you're allowed to do that altogether. Why should you be allowed to, for example, to hang a mezuzah around your neck? What's the point of the mezuzah around your neck? It's a sesgula for protecting you. If it is. But there are plenty of people that hang mezuzahs around the neck believing that it's going to protect them or to help them. Similar to the mezuzah that's on the door that's mugging the houses of Israel. So they feel that if they wear it around their neck, it's mugging them. So the question is that Dakei Amari or not? Or is it Mishtamish B'Divrei Torah or not? Which is a separate problem. Okay, so let's go slowly, slowly. Now, there are other who hold that this particular issue of being usur to do something that's usur min ha-Torah, but not usur min ha-Rabbanan. In other words, maybe the reason that the haitzah of these things is not a problem is because maybe that isur is only min ha-Rabbanan. Because it's shaloi kederach haitzah usur, perhaps, anyhow. Okay. You see, normally when you carry something like that, like, why in the world should anybody carry that? So even if it's worthless, it's not called kederach haitzah usur. It's not purposeful. So in any case, whatever the problem is, there's a solution to the issue of Shabbos that might be different than the general solution, the general issue of what is the question? The question is using dvarim or asurim in one way or another when there's a suffix gadol whether they will have any effectiveness. That's the question. So maybe carrying on Shabbos, that Mishnah Samach Zayin has nothing to do with it for a variety of reasons, including the one that we mentioned earlier, that since for him, he thinks it's effective, so for him it's a malbush, even though somebody else would not be able to carry out, because for him it's not a malbush, he's not holding something. Okay. Now, okay. Now there's a big tshuva in the Rajba, and the Rajba disagrees with the Rambam, and the Rambam's idea that refuos gulios, that you do not have a teva established explanation for them, should never be used. The Rajba is mechulik with him in Gamri, and he says no, the refuos gulios that are baduk and menusa, we are permitted to use, and they have nothing to do with Darkei Amayri, and therefore Macholos Asuras would be permitted, etc. Well, actually, he doesn't speak about Macholos Asuras, but others extrapolate from the Rashba that even Macholos Asuras would be permitted for the sake of Segula. Now, the question is, a person wants to write a kvittel on Shabbos, or he wants to send a telegram on Shabbos for a tzaddik to be mispalel for him. Is that permissible? Is that permissible? So take a look at your notes. I believe I have here a tshuva, a marsham that's quoted by the Tzitz Eliezer. Shalos tshuva Tzitz Eliezer chelak dalet simen dalet ois yud zayin. Vashlomas hadvorim hivayini lahatik bazeh ma'asheheshiv agoyin ha-marsham b'negei aleksibas telegrama b'shabas al yedei Yisrael kishei efshar al yedei Akum. You know, he says, of course, you can do it al yedei Goy, you have to. But he says, we're in a situation where the only one who could write or type the telegram was a Yisrael. And he writes, kach nira mehamincha Shabbos sham shekach hoysa hasha'ela. This Shuvah of the Marsham that he's quoting, he's copying from the Sefer Mincha Shabbos, and he says it's mashma that that was the case, that a Yisrael had to produce the telegram. In other words, it's a malacha mamish of ksiva al yedei Yisrael. What's that? Because if he could help you, it would tzarech refuah. That's the v'chaybah. That's the shayla. Don't you have a munas chacham? Anyhow, so he says like this. So he writes, telegram of Shabbos l'chacham b'tzadik, sheyivakish rachamim avrucholi sheyesh b'chashash sakona. You hear him, Isa? Hatshuva nitfisa b'sefer min chashabas simen peidalet os choftes, very important sefer in Hilchos Shabbos. V'ashashoa limuta lichtoiv depesha. Depesha, D-E-P, it's a French word. Lichtoiv depesha b'shabas, kodesh. Avrucholi l'tzadik mefursam.
Hine bebekes yoytze v'rachayim simen shenala v'yisvav herich b'din ksiva sgula b'mokim sakonis nefoshes. This Shimon Shin Aleph is the Simon that we're talking about in Hilchos Shabbos. And he says that the Birkei Yosef, the Chidah, he writes that B'din Ksiva Skula, B'mokim Sakonis Nefoshes, V'Rav Godel B'Sifrei Kosav HaSkula, V'Hevi Midivrei Radvaz B'Lishoynes HaRambam, B'Simon Kufnun Gimel, the Kol She'Eina Refua Tivis Otso. So he says that there was a certain segula that they found in a sefer that was written by a Rav Gadol, meaning that it's a serious thing, it's not something that somebody concocted who is a make-believe mekubal. You know, I say that 90% of the mekubalim are mekablim, and 10% are mekubalim. And you know what the rule is? That from those 10% of the mekubalim, none of them are mekablim. So the kait hai klola biyodcha. The moment somebody sticks out his hand, you should be suspicious. If he doesn't stick out his hand, you have maybe a chance. So this says that a Rav Gadol wrote this gula, and therefore they took it very seriously. So the question is, can you write this gula for somebody on Shabbos? B'mokim sakonis nefoshes. So he quotes the Radvaz from the Lishonis HaRambam, and that's what we said before, that a refua segulis legamri, which does not have a foundation in science, such as a writing a pasuk, or writing any piece from the Zayar, or from wherever, some lachash, is not scientifically a mahalach, it's supernatural. It might be valid, but it's supernatural. It's not scientific. It's not working with the koichos of Teva. It's working with the koichos that are beyond Teva, which we believe in. But it doesn't mean that it's scientific. So Memela, if you write something like that, are you permitted to do that on Shabbos? So he quotes the Shitas HaRambam by the Radvaz that you're not. Because Refua Segulis, which does not have a validation in science, b'nisayun b'iyun b'teva, is not permitted to be used in Macholos Asuras and on Shabbos and so on and so forth. Apparently they believe that it worked. But afal pi kein, you can't use a refuah segulis. Avo b'tshuvas admas kodesh u'b'priya aretz kosvu d'Ramban v'Rashba choku al Rambam, as I told you a moment ago. Ach mikol mekoyim tzorech iyun. V'im ovar v'osa v'hitzliach, b'vaday lo yosa shum isa. Shalitz tshuvas shar Ephraim simen tzadik yinich b'tzorech iyun, imuta limchoik l'tzorech kameya klap shekosuv by b'sefer Torah Shemus. It's an amazing question. They needed a piece of parchment. They didn't have any parchment. And apparently writing on a piece of paper is not the same as writing on a parchment. So they took a parchment, or because there's a segula from using the parchment of the Sefer Torah, I don't know. But in any case, they needed a piece of parchment, and the only piece of parchment available was mamish from a Sefer Torah, from a viable Sefer Torah. It doesn't say the Sefer Torah was fossil. From a viable Sefer Torah, and af al pi kein, they cut the parchment and erased what was on the parchment, which could have included Shemus. Unbelievable. Shekotz b'sefer Torah Shemus. Why? Because even that is not the three Averis HaChamuras of Yoharig Val Yavar. So if a person is a Choylem Mesukad and it's Pikuach Nefesh, he says that's the Shaila. So he's Iniach b'tzarechiyun, the Shar Ephraim. The Shar Ephraim, you're talking about Ephraim Zalma Magolis. It doesn't mean Yosheves al HaMashber, she was sitting b'Shabbos and he wrote it on Sunday. It means, or on Friday, it means that he wrote b'Shabbos for a woman that was having difficulty giving birth. So he wrote for her a Zas Gula even on Shabbos. V'cheinu Rama b'tshuva ksav yad itir. Avodavka b'di ismachi kameya v'gavra kedin. Now, the point that you asked me before, what happens if you see that it works? They're only talking about where it works. But Alpha became the Rambam Paskins that the heter of a Chai Bohem is only when things are B'derech HaTeva, not when things are not B'derech HaTeva, which we do not have the logical explanation of when it works and why it works. I guess it always remains in this kind of limbo of not knowing, according to the Rambam Sheet, of not knowing whether it's valid. But even if it's Ismachi, I just wanted to read to you something that I took from the Aruch HaShulchan. and copied over. You could just as well have brought the Sefer, I suppose, but this is what the Aruch HaShulchan says. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, again, this is based on that Mishnah that I mentioned to you in the list, Amud, the last blot, next to the last Amud of Bamei Isha, about Melechus Hotzah. I have it. Yeah. So he says like this. V'chein muta lotzeis bekameya mumcha. Use the lotion mumcha. What does it mean, mumcha? That it was proven. In this particular, it doesn't mean an intelligent, capable kameya, that, you know, he's a mumcha in Hilchus Shabbos. It means that the kameya was proven. Kameya shen mismacha. Bipnei shu takshit. Loi. Avol bekameya she'ena mumcha, also lotzis afilu lekarmelis, umau kameya mumcha, l'rashi zal, daf samach aleph amir aleph, dibra maschul de mumcha, im bala kameya huchzuk le mumcha, moyul hamcha osoy, afilu lishar dvorim shlo hurgal adayim bekach. V'chein kameya zu, she'huchzuk ole refua, mutarim lotzis bo afilu kosfu acherim, kibin sheza halachas, halachash huchzuk le refuais. In other words, even though a certain person used it, you might think that maybe it's specific to him. But if it works, then he says, no, it's the lachash that's working. And then even if another person wrote that same lachash, he would be able to carry it out and expect the refuah from it. Afilu kotzvu acherim. Kibin sheza halachash huksuk lerefuahis, v'chein mash miloshen harambam shekotzev sham din yud beis. Beizu kameya mumche, ze sheripa legimu b'nei odom, there are two ways to make a kameya mumcha, and they both require three times. Many things that require three times to establish a chazaka. In this particular case, you also have three times establishing a chazaka for a kameya. Either that particular kameya worked three times in a row, or that the person who wrote that kameya was successful in three other kameyas before it. So in other words, it has to be proven that the writer is capable or that the chefza of the kameya is capable. Either way, it has to be done three times. The hashta is machi gavra l'chol lachash. And if he has proven himself in three other instances, then he is ismachi for any lachash that he writes. L'chol lachash zeh sheyichtoiv sharei huchzak begimul l'choshim. Avo l'sha'ar l'choshim lo huchzak. V'gam eina kameya mumcha mitzad atzma el mitzad koitzva. In other words, if the Gavra is the one who is proven, and not the Kameya per se, because he was proven by several other Kameyas, so then if somebody else writes that Kameya, it won't necessarily work. Because it might be that the writer, because you see in these inyonim, you'd ask, what's the difference who writes it? Either it works or it doesn't work. The Teretz says we're dealing with things that we b'chal don't understand how they work to begin with. So if the person is writing it, it could be that he's writing it a certain way. It could be that his kedusha is imposing itself upon the writing. Who knows? So therefore, we do not consider it, if he's the one who's the mumcha, that someone else who wrote the very same lachash is going to be successful. And therefore, he's not allowed to do that on Shabbos. That's a good question. That's a good question. What happens if you have a person that yes and no? Right? Yeah, that's a good question. It says three times. He says three times.
How does it work anyway?
But that, I don't know. It's a good question. We'll see. Then he writes, what happens lehefech if the sgula, if that sgula, that particular parchment worked three times for three different people? So he says, if ripei by choice, geris mumcha l'chol misha yisaena, so anyone else that uses it is going to be able to wear it on Shabbos, right? Chol misha yisaena, afshalei ripei sarak la'odam echad, b'koma koma ripei asa gimel pamin v'chzaka yigeris zuba atzma l'mumcha v'lo yigeris acheres, afilu zeh halachash atzmai, afilu zeh ha'kaisiv atzmai. In other words, if the same kaisiv wrote one, he wrote once, and he wasn't proven as a kosev, But that lachash was proven because either the same person or several people used it three times and were healed. So then the chepsa of the kameya becomes mumcha, even though the writer isn't necessarily proven to be a mumcha. You see, you're dealing with things that are totally esoteric. The kameya mikri kagon shekosav lachash zeh begimul igoros v'chol igeres ripe gimul pa'omim legimul anoshim o'lo odom echod huchzaka odom lalachash zeh b'chol igeres yechtevenu v'elo agimul igoros huchzaku l'chol odom. So he writes here that what is ismachi gavra v'kameya, there's a case where the gavra became a mumcha, but not the kameya. There's a case where the kameya became a mumcha and not a gavra. Then the Gemara describes ismachi gavra v'ismachi kameya. You'll find that lashon, by the way, many times in tshuvas, where he says, you know, you're a big Talmud Chacham, and you know your tshuvas are acceptable. Ismachi gavra v'ismachi kameya. He doesn't mean that he wrote a kameya. It's just a figure of speech. But the gavra is himself chashuv, and the thing that he wrote is chashuv. So they use the expression ismachi gavra v'ismachi kameya. What's the case by a lachash? It means that he wrote a certain lachash in three separate kameyas, three separate parchments, and each parchment was used three times and was successful. So you're asking, what about a lachash? Is this is the nusach, whatever the text? Yeah. Yeah, that's.
Well, so that he wrote it three times and three people.
Well, because there's a category called ismachi gavra v'ismachi kameya that's higher.
So you see, the gavra, he wrote it three times.
Right.
He wrote the same kameya three times. So why isn't that?
So that kameya is works.
Right.
But each particular kameya will not have a segula by itself.
If he writes a different,
if he writes another kameya, then it'll work.
Right.
Because it's machi gavra.
Right.
And then as far as the kameya is concerned, however, if somebody else copies that nusach, it's not gonna work. Because it might be he that made the kameya work.
Even though
it's written three times, but it has to be that the same kameya physically worked three times. And that it only was used on one person. Because for a kameya to work a fourth time per se, is not, so it knows, if he wrote three kameyas and then he writes a fourth one, then somebody could use the fourth kameya. But if he wrote three kameyas and then somebody copies the kameya, it's not going to help. Because the kameya cheftza was not proven three times.
How does anybody ever write that same kameya?
What do you mean? He writes a kameya and he gives it to Chaim. And Chaim gets healed. And he gives it, either he got sick again later, a year later, and he got healed.
You're using the same kameya three times.
Well, you use the same kameya three times. Yeah. Yeah. Now, he says, for example, it's getting very complicated, but it's an amazing thing that it has to do with a kameya that you don't even know how it works. What if a person wrote three kameyim for one person? Right? And it helped them three times. Right? So, lo yismachi, lo gavra, v'lo kameya. Why not? I said, the gavra should certainly be ismachi. He says, because when it heals the same person three times, in three different kameyas, you may attribute the zuchus of the choyla and not the success of the kameya. Getting very, very heavy. Because it's possible the talinon b'mazla de choyla, v'rak zeh ha-choyla mutalotzeis boi, elohim kein obar ha-gavraham cho'osay. And in any case, so three kameyim for another mechad is not the same as three times being used by another mechad, the same kameyim. Okay. So he writes, furthermore, Da the hod amin on the smachi tarvayu zeu kishabo shnei ha'amchoiz biyachad kagon shekasa vigeres l'ruvein v'ripa
Vigeris l'shimon v'ripa, v'odi geris l'shimon v'ripa shnei pa'amim. Da'adayin lohuksak shumi geris begimul pa'amim, v'gam hu lohuksak begimul anoshim, v'chakach ripa b'igoris hagimul l'levi, v'bo shnei amchoiz b'yachad. Avlam nosan gimul igoris l'gimul b'nei odam v'ripu, v'smachi gavro, shuv lo yismacha ha'kameis, v'talina b'amchoiz ha'gavro. So it's very, very complicated. In any case, in the Mishnah, when it says, so he writes like this: Umuta lotzis bekameya mumcha, beinim hi kameya shel ksav or kameya shel ikorin. Bein, in other words, if it's some sort of herb or whatever it is that is a zgula, it doesn't have to be something written. Bein b'choyla sheyesh boi sakona, bein b'choyla she'ein boi sakona, to be yotze, to go out on Shabbos. B'lav davka shekvar yesh loy choyli v'talei l'refua, ela filu lo achazu ha'choyli adayin, ela shehu mi mishpocha sheyesh lohem choyli. Let's say he comes from a family that has a predisposition, an inclination towards a certain machla. People have a genetic inclination towards it, for example. So he's allowed to wear it to prevent the choyli, even on Shabbos. Omnam bekatmeya sheyesh bohem psukim, also lotzis ba elim kain hi mechupa or, kedei shebeknisasa lebeis hakisei loitia megula. So it's a separate issue. If the kameya doesn't have any psukim, it's not a problem, even if it's written in Hebrew. But if the kameya has psukim, so the psukim cannot be exposed, that he can't walk into the beis hakisei with them. You know, there's a whole shaila, person had a ring, and on the ring was written the word sholom. Either because that's his name, or stam shalom, shalom shmoy shal kodesh brochel. So there's a whole discussion about whether you're allowed to wear such a ring into the bathroom. But in this particular case, it's clear that the psukim you cannot take into the bathroom unless they are covered over. So he writes that, of course, you have to be able to cover it, says the Gemara, Kadesh b'knisos l'beisakisi l'tia megula v'koshu matir sakameh b'shus harabim v'loi chashinu shem yital t'lenu dalet amas b'shus harabim d'balei hakameh choshishin shelo yazuzu mimekoimim b'loi hakameh. He says that in this particular case, unlike shoes and other things that it might be, or gloves, there's all discussion whether you can wear gloves. You might take off your gloves to give shalom aleichem and walk dalet amos and so on. In the case of the kameya, there's never such a chash because the person is scared out of his wits to walk 1 inch without wearing the kameya. So that's something that he'll be absolutely confident that he's going to wear the kameya no matter what. Okay, and then he writes, okay, so that's what he says over here. Now, the next thing. These are kameyas. Kameyas are various lashonis that are written and that have a segula, that whether it's the gavra or the kameya, that they're effective in the case of a machla. Then he quotes the Mishnah and the Samach Zayin. The Mishnah says, Yoitzim bebeitzes chargol. It says, min chogav. It's a kind of grasshopper. It's a cricket. Chargol in modern Hebrew is a cricket. Vahu l'ke'ev ha'oizen. He says, it's good for this beitzes chargol that you're wearing. It's good for an earache. U'b'shein shuol s'gula she'yishan ha'choyli. If a tooth of a fox, that the choyli should go to sleep. Anyhow, he has all kinds of segulas that are mentioned in the Mishnah and in the Gemara. That you're allowed. Well, the fees there. So if everyone knows Yochid v'Rabim is halacha k'Rabim, so therefore it should be also even b'choil mishum darkei amari. Well, if he's a havelei lipsek li'isur k'chachomim. Ha'om nam ha-rambam v'atur v'ashulchan aruch siv chav zayim poskul leheter. So why is it so? So he says, Zizal pi ha-Yerushalmi, the goyr is divir reb yoysi v'reb meyer oyser. Not for chachomim, but rather two tanoyim acholik with one another. There isn't a yochid v'rabim. It's only Reb Yossi and Reb Meir. And Reb Yossi is the one that says it's mutar, and Reb Meir says it's asur. V'alochak Reb Yossi. V'afilu l'fi girsa seinu alochak Reb Meir. And even if it's like our girsa, halacha still remains with Reb Meir in spite of the fact that he's a yachid. Mishum damin b'gemara sham abay v'rova damit abayu kol dobi sheish v'am mishum refua kloimar. Shenis ames hanisayon shamoil ein boi mishum darkei ha'amayri. Right, the elu nisamis b'hem hanisayon, the zehu shekosav haramim v'husha yomru harofim shumayil, kloima shenisamis etzlam hanisayon shumayil, the kolshkein b'masha harofim noisnin refuahis tibiyos al pichochmas harefuah the muta. So what he says basically is as follows: that the Rambam holds that things that are unreasonable or unlikely is totally in what the scientist recommends. If the scientist or the doctor feels that it works, then we trust him, even though we do not understand, or he may not himself understand, exactly how it works. But somewhere in there, there's a refuah tivis going on. So if we don't know how the shein of a shul, or how the particulars of the beitzas achargol of the cricket works, nevertheless, when you see that it works for that particular machla that it's being used, it's like these alternative medicines that they have herbs that for years and years they couldn't figure out why they should possibly work. And many scientists who would only accept that which they could prove rejected them. And then they discovered that upon further analysis, which they didn't have the tools for in those days, 100 years ago, whatever, they have now the tools to see what particular chemical is working so that it affects what goes on in the brain or in the thyroid or in the endocrine glands, etc., etc. So therefore, those are segulos refuios. Hagam, we don't chap what they're all about. Now, a kameya obviously doesn't work like that, because a kameya doesn't have a medicinal aspect to it at all. It doesn't work in that category. So he says, if it's something that's not proven, because there are thousands of things that people do because they're Baba Mises, so he says, that's also, says the Rambam. And not only is it also, but it's also Mishum Daki Amayri. But if the doctor recommends it and he feels that it has effectiveness, then you don't have to know the scientific reason for the effectiveness. And you're still allowed to use it, and therefore you're allowed to go out with it as well. On Shabbos. So he says, Zeh shekosav haramah v'husha yomru harofim shumoyil, kloimar shenis amis etzlam hanisayon shumoyil, v'kolshkin b'mash harofim noisnin refuahis tibiyos, api chochmas harefuah demutar. Even though you don't know why it works, but they explain it. Avol oisa ma'aseh she'ein boi refuah tivis, v'gam hanisayon lo his amsay, osur av b'choil mishum darkei ho'emayri. Omnom mine l'choshim mutar, kiven she'ein bohem ma'aseh. So he says, if you do something like carrying something or putting something on a wound or anything like that, or making a circle around a tree, anything that's a maisa that does not have any scientific background or foundation whatsoever, and no scientist can explain it to you, not only explain to you why, but explain to you that this works, we don't understand why, but it does work, it's all considered also mishum darkei amayri, but a lachash, just simply an incantation, words, is ein boi maisa, and therefore it's not a problem. That's a separate story. If it's a lachash that's to a certain deity, some demon or something like that, obviously it's also because of avodah zar. Also, what happens if you have a lachash that you know doesn't work? Then it's also asur. He says there are three things. You go to a doctor, you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you give tzedakah. So that's the gist of the Aruch HaShulchan. Next time, Bezus Hashem, I want to go further into the other issues here. The the issue of writing a telegram on Shabbos and so on, or writing a kvittel to a Rebbe, we already mentioned and we discussed. Reb Shlomo Kluger has a tshuva about it also, but we have here the Mincha Shabbos quotes the Maharsham's tshuva that we mentioned before. Then I also wanted to talk next time about the following. What happens if a person wants you to write a kameya on Shabbos, and the issue is not so much the effectiveness of the kameya, but rather his mental state? In other words, he is going to go out of his mind if he doesn't have that kameya. So the question is, for that alone, are you permitted to do it? And the question is, in such a case, obviously he has to ask for it, because if he doesn't ask for it, then it's a simon that it doesn't mean much to him. So, you know, and what happens if you would know already that that kameya is not mismacha, that, you know, was tried on other people and it doesn't work? So he says it doesn't matter, because here the ikar is shaloite tarid daita, olav. Now what happens, he must have a reason why he wants a kameya. So maybe somebody told him that, he heard that this kameya works. So normally we would never accept that. We would have to know that it has actually worked. We have to know it ourselves. But in this particular case, like the Tarif Daitai, we are permitted to write it. And the same thing is true if the Reifim ask you to do it, interestingly enough. So the next thing that I wanted to talk to you about, just covered, we skimmed the surface, but the next thing I want to talk about, Bezus Hashem Bli Neder on Yom Sheni B'Shabbos, is the question of specifically Psukim and Divrei Torah, and what does it mean, Ein Misrapim B'Divrei Torah? And of course the question is, well, don't Kameyas have Divrei Torah in them and Psukim in them? Many do. So we just spoke a whole Arichus that if the Kameyas is Mismacha, then you're allowed to carry it on Shabbos and so on and so forth, and it's not Mishum Darkei Amori. So then what does it mean, Ein Misrapin, the Divrei Torah? So that, Bezus Hashem, we are going to go into. And that's, of course, a Gemara in the Shavuos, and the Tosfos in Shavuos, that is above Amid Beis, and Bezus Hashem, we'll talk about it next time.